If you're ever in Munich, Germany, that is, I recommend you visit the city's train station. I also suggest you visit the train station of Munich, North Dakota, but for completely different reasons. Get out of there. Now, in Munich, Germany, the train station's architecture is astounding. The coffee is delicious, and of course, you meet all kinds of different people from all over Syria. Clearly, they did not come for Oktoberfest. Thanks for joining. I'm Nick Blake, and today we attempt to find out if Europe is a bottomless pit. Let's start off with the head of European Commission talking about the migrant crisis. This clip was taken from EC's YouTube page, State of the Union, in 3 minutes.
In spite of our fragility, our self-perceived weaknesses, today it is Europe that is sought worldwide as a place of refuge and exile. Pushing back boats from piers, setting fire to refugee camps, or turning a blind eye to poor and helpless people, that is not Europe. Are we distinguishing between Christians, Jews, Muslims? There is no religion, there is no belief, there is no philosophy when it comes to refugees and to those who are fleeing. Asylum is a right.
That was EC President Jean-Claude Juncker giving his best not to laugh when pretending he cares. Do Europeans actually take him seriously? Finance Minister of Luxembourg for 10 years. Let me repeat this again. Finance Minister of one of the largest tax havens in the world. Can you imagine how much dirty laundry of the most corrupt people on earth went through this guy's hands? Imagine if instead of talking about migrants, he was saying banks are not getting enough bailout money. That guy is wired to speak in pounds, dollars, and euros. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure Juncker has a good heart, especially after a few drinks. If you have the possibility, watch EC's State of the Union speech in 3 minutes. Besides the obvious use of plastic surgery in the front row, what else can you see? I see predominantly white, showered, well-fed, but power-hungry males. They look weak, pasty, and scared. How can they argue for broke, starving Syrians that swim through the Mediterranean with children in their teeth? I caught up with the program director of migration at the Institute for Labor Studies, Emily Constant, who shared with me her views on the situation. EU ministers agreed in principle to distribute the 160,000 people. What could Brussels do if the countries refuse to take in migrants?
Well, up front, there is nothing they can do. If you observe and abide by the rules of being a community and of, you know, the law that has been signed as an EU member, you cannot really do that. It's shameful, if I may say. These people are not criminals. They are people who flee inhumane circumstances in their own countries. This in Syria, for example, but also Afghanistan, the war has been going on for many years. You know, this is a humanitarian issue. We all should open the borders for these people, and we should take care of them and try to find the best means to accommodate these people while we also protect the sovereignty of each country and, of course, the economy of each country. You know, to a certain degree, this is expected from politicians because they have to sort of, you know, cater to the voters and remain in office. I'm an economist. You know, I can only talk about facts and what research finds, and we're trying to educate the public and the politicians and the media. I'm not a politician. I never really understand how they, you know, can change from one day to the other.
That was Emily Constant there. EU is a bohemia of an organization, but what can be more bureaucratic and a double standard than the good old British government? Let's have a listen.
But the UKIP seemed to object to the Bulgarians on the grounds that they are skilled, which is a whole new angle in the anti-immigration debate. Here they are, coming over here, their skills. A lot of people say that we need mass immigration if we're going to have economic growth. Other people say it always costs the infrastructure more than it brings to the country. Whatever the truth of those two positions, the way people are talking about the Bulgarians, we've seen it all before, haven't we? We've seen 10 years ago with the the Poles, people going, oh, bloody Poles coming over here, bloody Poles coming over here being all Polish and mending everything. Coming over here fixing all the stuff we've broken and are too illiterate to read the instructions for, doing it better than us in a second language, bloody Poles coming over here. When I was a kid 40, 45 years ago, it was the Indians, wasn't it? Bloody Indians, Pakistanis and Indians coming over here, inventing us a national cuisine. Before that, in the 16th century, it's bloody Huguenots, wasn't it? Bloody Huguenots.
That was Stuart Lee, English stand-up comedian, talking about UK Independence Party and their clearly redundant views on immigration. Funny to think how before last year, when the migrant crisis became a hot topic in Europe, Brits were worried about Poles and Romanians coming into UK. Yeah, because they're gonna literally rebuild the country. Something tells me not all Syrian refugees are going to be Steve Jobs and Paula Abduls. I bet, however, the refugees can fix the running water situation in Britain. They've rebuilt their houses so many times after bombshells exploded in their living room that heating water and making it go up the pipes is not a biggie. Just listen to what some middle-class Brits say for themselves.
Just sick of hearing people who are so f***ing stupid about immigration. So things like, you know, coming over here, taking our jobs, doing our jobs on time. For the price they quoted with a smile on their face, without needing 8 gallons of tea every 5 minutes and leaving a turd in your loo so big the only way you can flush it down is by breaking it up with a fucking stick. Welcome, all of them. Approximately 4.1 million foreign nationals in the UK at the moment. 5.1 million British passport holders overseas. Cha-ching, we've won. Relax, everybody. We're 1.5 million people in credit. Cha-ching. Plus, in terms of rocking up in other people's countries and behaving like pricks, Britain's got form. Hello, what's this place called? Really? I'm going to change it to a place called mine. Now. You, Umbongo, run off and get me some tea, will you? Yes, that plantation will do nicely. Thank you.
That was Marcus Brigstoke from his DVD Planet Corduroy. Now, let's look at where the migrants, refugees, and asylum seekers go. What is their typical route? Assuming they make it out of Syria, they usually head west. One would expect them to turn back as soon as they arrive in Greece, given how much bad press the country's gotten. As they walk through Greece, one goes, Ahmed, listen, why did we even come here? If we wanted to see lazy farmers and poor Russian tourists, we could have stayed at home. Fine. They make it through Greece and end up where? In Hungary. Hungary. The name alone should have been a sign to stay away, because naturally the migrants want to go where things are abundant, plentiful, and many, like Germany.
This idea of the good life being elsewhere does possess people. And I suppose a lot of people now, because Europe is freed up and everything, people move within Germany. A lot of, within Europe, rather. I mean, I said Germany, but I meant Europe. I don't know why I said Germany, but loads of people did go to Germany, actually. Recently, for the World Cup. A lot of English people went over to make uninformed, prejudicial remarks about German people and Germany. Totally ignorant and bigoted. And know nothing about it, but they feel free to insult it. Because they're English and they're bigoted. And because Germany is a toilet. A truly dreadful place. You see, the thing is, you're talking to a modern, nice, affable German person, and they're saying to you something like, you know, well, it's a critical time now for Germany within Europe, also globally. Economically, we're pretty good, we have been better, but we're very vibrant in the theatre and arts and so on. All the time you listen to this, you're thinking, Hitler. There's a Hitler when you did the Hitler thing with Hitler. And the people look like pork. You can't get away from that. They do. They look like pork scratchings on a towel. And you can't eat the food because you would have to complain about it. And that would mean speaking German. It's a disgusting language. Nobody should ever speak it. Even Hitler was vegetarian. That's how bad the food is. And you couldn't speak German because it's a horrible sound. It sounds like typewriters eating tinfoil being kicked down the stairs. And somebody is talking to you in German. They're saying, and you think, what is happening to you from behind? How can we make it stop? Please go away.
top Irish comedian Dylan Moore in there, saying what everybody else is thinking. The promised land for the refugees is indeed Germany. The country is actually being generous, since it said it will house over 800,000 refugees. I was baffled at the number, but then one day I look at Sputniknews.com and there's an article about German authorities housing asylum seekers in Buchenwald. Well, okay, it wasn't actually Buchenwald, it was Schwerte Ost, which was a subcamp of Buchenwald. Nevertheless, it was a concentration camp where refugees were housed. This is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. First showers in Auschwitz to cool down the tourists, and now refugees in Schwerte Ost. What's next, Germany? What's next? I've been Nick Blake, and you've been listening to As If.